Hey there, Gut Thrivers. Welcome to our September quarterly live Q&A webinar. I'm Nicole Duby, the lead clinician at The Whole Journey, and I'm joined by your favorite and mine, Dr. Jack Tipps. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Good to visit. Looking forward to some exciting stuff here. Love it.
Absolutely. So let's see. Who we have with us, we have a handful of people here, and we're just going to jump right into straight Q&A. So send us your questions. Oh, hey, Chantel's from Canada. Vicky, we always love to see you. Allison from Mass. Yeah, Allison, I'm from Western Mass, so I'm curious where you are. Hey, Vicky's from Florida. Perfect. All right, you guys, jump in with some questions if you have them. And no one has any questions, Jack. So,
well, I can always pontificate and elucidate, and maybe even educate if we really, really get hard. Yep. And then behind my chair here, I have my top hat, cane, and a little cape. So,
love it.
I can do a little soft shoe for everybody.
So do you have any
A lot of times people are trying to address issues, and I'll just give an overview perspective. Oh, here we go.
Allison, both my sisters live in Arlington, so I'm very familiar. Let's see. Chantel's on plan S. She also tested positive for the spit test on for candida. Anything's tied to the plan. Yeah, definitely. It's probably that you have some SIBO in addition to SIBO, so small intestinal fungal overgrowth, which Jack can tell you all about, but we can have you add in a couple of things like some Candida Forte. I would have you drink a cup of Podarco tea every day too and add that to your Planus plan. Jack, would you add anything else in that situation?
I kind of like that idea. You know, both the Candida and many of the species that become SIBO, that not only do they all build biofilms, but they all can release the hydrogen sulfide. And so a lot of times a SIBO bailiwick to put it in, there's underlying candida. And then if we understand that candida is often in cahoots with these other species, mm-hmm. and if you just go in and knock off bacteria, the candida can flourish, and then you wonder, why am I not getting my full results? Now, Krista did a brilliant thing in the SIBO program, and she covers the SIFO as well in the same botanicals. In other words, an oregano oil gets them both. But when you really see the suspicion that you might have a tandem operation going between bacteria and the fungi, it makes perfect sense to enhance the pathogen purge, even extend it. Now, don't expect the spit test to clear up immediately after or in stride with that phase. We're going to look for it to clear up maybe even a couple of weeks after the whole shebang. But what you're doing right now is you're taking this modicum of knowledge and you're just going to hammer it. I'd say I like the idea on something like this of adding like a formula like you recommended, Nicole, and then extend it a week. And let's win the game right here. The whole SIBO game can get won here in the next 3 to 4 weeks as you do the pathogen purge, because coming on the wings of that are all the things Krista has to help balance the immune system. And the key is to get that immune system to take over and regulate the species in the small intestine. So you just march right along. But what we don't want is to err on the side of caution here and not do enough to really get that clean slate. So let's add a product here, Nicole. Tack on a little extra week. Be sure you round it up some good supplies. And let's win it once and for all. I've always been uncomfortable with the fact that people that are doing the antibiotics, they have a high rate of having to go back to the doctor and do another round. And that's the last thing we want to see in our natural health model, because we want to get it done and get it done right. So that's your opportunity here, Chantal, is to get in and get tough and then march right on, march right on out. And it's all terrific after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just linked Candace at Forte for you, Chantal, here in the chat. So you can take a look at that product. And like Jeff said,
add a specific species of, let's say, probiotic that offsets pathogenic species of the pathogens and that sort of thing. So it's hard necessarily to go too deep into this because a lot of these species are not available in capsules. In other words, science finds a probiotic, but they don't know how to deliver it. And right now the technology is moving forward where these human organisms can be grown or incubated and then put or suspended in something like an olive oil or a grapeseed oil is a good one. And then they'll actually deliver the bugs in an oil base, which the gut microbiome loves, and then bingo, out they come. But while we're at the cutting edge, we want to look at what we actually can do right now. And so I do keep encountering the research of our position that when you finish with the gut thrive at the end of week 10-ish or 11, or maybe you do a little afterwards, that's when that's a critical moment. And sometimes we say, well, the game really starts because now it's your immune system terraforming. And we're seeing more and more research now that it's really all about the fibers, all the vegetable fibers, maybe fermented foods if a person has solved histamine issues, and that they're moving forward, feeding the good species and allowing biodiversity. So that's where I just keep running into research, biodiversity, many vegetable fibers to give the species a terrain to grow, and we're actually then picking up population density. So Krista's marching you right on the road to doing that. And my emphasis for you to flag today out on your calendar about week 11 is you're writing a note to self, stay with those vegetable fibers. Clinically, I have people even eating their juicers, right? Carrot and beet and celery and asparagus, all these juices, and actually eating some of the fibers and things, just really focusing on building that terrain. So there's things we do at home to handle that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's see. Chantal has another question. I've had a bad reaction to changing to diet, Plant Paradox, and I'm concerned about starting dropping most all carbs at once. Is there a way to ease the transition? So just change the diet progressively and start the supplements a bit later. I lost half my hair 6 months later. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you are coming into the program eating a certain way and eating a higher carb and needing to reduce it, I would say you can stay in the getting started phase or the step one phase for as long as you need to work towards that diet. And you can start adjusting down slowly so you don't have to go from all to nothing. I would say just reduce gradually and stay in that preliminary stage until you're ready to start implementing the dietary strategy and the supplements together. I mean, we find that a lot in the opposite direction with the adrenal recode, because we start having you add in carbs to help your glycogen stores and help your adrenal and thyroid health. And so people coming into that program who have been eating low carb can struggle with that too. So we always recommend that you do so incrementally in little small steps so that your body doesn't get overwhelmed and confused by it. So that's what I would say in that situation. Do you have anything to say, Jack?
I'll step in and, most people that encounter what I say or what I do find I just respect the broad range of people and a very open mind. But I wanted to say I'm not all on board with the Plant Paradox. We're picking on lectins and certain molecules that plants use to fight off fungus and bacteria, as well as predators such as deer. And it's going to come down to the individual. In other words, we ought to be looking at a gene test, the whole genome, and realizing, does a person lend themselves more toward, you know, like the Weston A. Price Foundation, lots of good fats and meat. And then what is the role of the vegetables? So there's so many of these sensitivities. There's an old, I'll get to the finish that sentence in a minute. There's an old aphorism that says you can't get a clear note out of a warped violin. And the problem with a lot of this research today is all the people in the study groups are warped violins, right? They've had 30 years of antibiotics deranging their guts. They've been eating glyphosate laden food. And before that, they had other things. Maybe they've been on some medications, you know, throw in a little Vioxx, throw in a little DES in their genes. And we realize that we're dealing with people now who all their lives, they've not really had the farm fresh food. They've not built their immune system and their gut microbiomes. It's been refined wheat, the burger joint. And as agriculture has gone further and further against the laws of nature, now we bring those people with all kinds of molecular and metabolic disturbances, and we find that, oh, now they're all inflamed by a normal natural plant food, or they're high in histamine reactions, or they're high reactivity to lectins. So I think instead of trying to always be tailoring our environment to suit ourselves, in other words, like next we'll have a suit where we can always have air conditioning and heating in it as we go out into the world, and we don't have to actually adapt to the environment. Mm-hmm. I think at some point we become over-sterilized. We become over-adapted. And the problem with deleting too many foods, and you think of hunter-gatherer, you're walking through the woods, you're going to eat the mushroom, you're going to eat the bark, you're going to eat the weed, you're going to eat the grass, you know, pick and choose, and you're going to dig a tuber, you're going to catch a rabbit. And there's all of this variety. As we get down in this mono diet of one of the main vegetables now for school children is ketchup, right? Because mm-hmm. the tomato, they call that a vegetable. And you can put that on a French fry. And now that child is being groomed in the nightshade family over and over and over again without any balancing factors. And suddenly you have a nightshade sensitivity. Absolutely. So rather than keeping running from things, it's so important to bring them in, to have a little bit. It may not be your favorite, but even that little one bite of a half of Brussels sprout, and just insisting that your body give it full consideration and give it a time and gentleness to adapt. And then going for wide variety is going to build a much healthier person than to start removing vegetables, because your gut bacteria need those fibers. See, where plant paradox is looking at immune reaction and inflammation, but we got to feed the gut. And if we live on and please understand, I like a lot of that book. I'm just trying to bring out the 10% of caution that comes up when we get on a railroad about something. Oh, I've got to eat low histamine foods, and suddenly we've taken out 15 foods that are marvelous that your cells may need. Yes. So I'm just going to lay that out to plant that seed. Yeah. That you're looking at retaining as much variety as possible and not being painted in a corner. Because we learned years ago, if you take out the plants, you take out the lectins, you take out the histamine producers, you take out the nightshades, you take out whatever is ailing you, there's something about that immune system and inflammatory process that it will become reactive to whatever is left. And I've actually met people who could eat nothing but white rice and white chicken. And they're totally painted in a corner. Yes. Because they kept retreating, allowing the environment to dictate their nutrition instead of standing strong and saying, I have to live and embrace this wide environment on this planet. It's a survival trait. So yeah. I say these things so that we can have our overview perspective that's often missing when a 200-page book can come out and be tailored to the marketplace. We often see that the bigger overview of the larger wheels got left out, and we're looking at a small slice of life. Thank you for the soapbox. I hope it helps.
It does. And I can't agree more with that, because for me, the client population that I work with are histamine issues, mast cell conditions. I have a mast cell condition myself. And there was a period of time when I can only eat four foods without going into anaphylaxis. And we try to restrict ourselves down into eating entirely low histamine. And like Jack said, removing all those foods out, but there's a downside and effect to that, because now you start to have nutrient deficiencies. You aren't giving your body the necessary cofactors it needs to do all the different nice response to it. And you get that biodiversity in your gut as well. So I think that you're right on about that, Jack. So, okay. So let's see, Kelly, she has SIBO. She's starting the pathogen purge after she gets back from Hawaii. I'm jealous about Hawaii on October 5th. She needs some clarity about food. She's blending all her cooked non-starchy vegetables in order to minimize bloating. She's concerned about constipation during the purge, and she's now doing a lot of Trifala and it's not working well. So now she's concerned about doing the purge with the Mediclay and the diatomaceous earth. So yeah, we definitely want to make sure if you're going through the pathogen purge that you're having at least one bowel movement a day. And so if you're not having that just with the Trifala, there are some things that you can try and see what works for you. I would try adding in some magnesium up to 800 milligrams a day to bowel tolerance, just see if that can help trigger a bowel movement for you. I would definitely do the coffee enemas and salt flushes during the purge if you're not already doing those. If you're still having some issues, you could cut the dose of the sludgy cocktail in half, because sometimes that can constipate people, so you can try that. If that doesn't work, there's some supplements you can try too, like Motility Pro, Iberogast. There's a product called Motility Activator that's just ginger and artichoke leaf extract that works really well for people. So you could try taking the Motility Activator 2 capsules at night. You could add in some ginger and peppermint tea to act as a prokinetic between your meals, and that might help. So there's different things you can try. So I would just say to experiment with those things and see what works for you. Jack, would you add in anything else with that?
You know, you did fine there. I'm on board. I was thinking of an aloe and ginger combination, because both of those can be remedial. Yep. And where if a person's concerned about constipation, it's probably more long term, and there's probably some other reason. So in Krista's strategy, it's she doesn't solve constipation in the early phases. It's the whole program that's working in that regard. Including the neuroactivation exercises that come later. So there's a wheel within wheel of coming back and addressing this to help as many people. One thing that I'm wondering about, I'm wondering about the blending of the vegetables and that minimizing bloating. I'll say this, there's an old cliche for people who do liquids and juicing, and it's called chew your juice. And most people, they'll blend or juice and then they'll just slam it down. But those starches need your saliva. And that's where chew the juice comes from, that you've got to work your saliva in there in order to handle carbohydrate digestion. Mm-hmm. So if you find that not having a big bite of plantain or potato or something in your gullet is going to help with the bloating response, just be sure to go for the good digestion, you know, and certainly your enzyme and the practice of chewing that, just to work the salivary glands. You know, your salivary glands can produce a high volume of liquid. They can put out the juice. So you want to do that motion in order to kind of milk the salivary glands to get the digestion started, so your pancreas can bring the amylase into the mix, and then you have good digestion, and that gets you through the the SIBO, but I was wondering how that works for you, because if you're pre-blending the vegetables, it seems like it's easier for, there's more surface area, it's easier for the SIBO to get at it, unless it's got more rapid transit. But Kelly, we want you to work with what works for you. I just thought I would go off on a tangent there, but listen to what Nicole said. You got to have a bowel movement a day. We don't want you being backed up. So find your blend, whether it involves an extra supplement or anything else. Let's just be sure you're moving along with the program and getting it done. And then we're going to be rooting for you and looking as you get toward the end of the program that your migrating motor complex is ramped up and you do have the motility and you're laying aside a tendency to the constipation.
Yeah, and definitely try those coffee enemas if you haven't, and salt flushes. Those can really work wonders, or even a colonic, a series of colonics might be helpful too. So just like Jack said, give everything a try and see what works for you. Okay, Libby from Montana. She's in the same boat as Chantel, except she's in week 10. She's on Plan S. No more symptoms of colitis for 2 months. That's amazing. However, she still has lingering skin symptoms with alkaline urine, but not saliva. Do I go back to the purge? I don't know how you would feel, Jack, but I would say probably give it a couple months, let that terraforming continue, and then go back and do maybe a little mini type of a purge in about 2 or 3 months. What would you
say? I love it. I'm glad, Nicole, that you got on that wavelength. It's not necessarily a case that every time we have symptoms, we have to go back and kill some bugs.
Right.
It's really what happens now forward that's going to resolve the skin. Going back to a pathogen purge now could release more cleansing type molecules that you're already having trouble with the skin reaction. And time is the great healer here. Yeah. And you hit it, Nicole. 2 months, chances are the skin symptoms are going to be gone, but it's based on her immune system getting new relationships with the microbes.
Yep.
And that can take 40 days and maybe a little longer. And it's also governed by diet and it's governed by genetics. And so we don't quite know a precise timeline for you, but gosh, 2 to 3 months and these things may just all have come out in the wash.
Yeah, agreed. So also, let me just pay attention to your diet over the next couple months, like Jack was saying, and just see how you feel with your skin. And if you're still having issues, just write into us in about a couple months and we can help you figure out a plan. All right, Judy. Judy's wondering if we have any thoughts on what direction she should take next. She finished Gut Thrive about 2 months ago now. Her temperature is normally 96.6. The HCL challenge didn't work for her at all. She's still doing two teaspoons of ACV and lemon juice in 2 cups of water every morning. She thinks her metabolism is slow and she wonders if she's not getting all the nutrients from food she needs. I think with that body temperature, if that's your normal temperature, that's saying to me that you might have some underlying thyroid and adrenal issues. I need to know a little bit more about what you're eating and what you're doing right now. But I would say it sounds like you have a little bit of dysfunction there, and you might benefit from something like the Recode now that you've done the gut work and you've reset your microbiome. That might help you move forward. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I think we want to look at one thing I'm getting here is there needs to be a different approach to building digestive power. And so a lot of times that's going to come from the botanicals. You're focusing on hydrochloric acid and assuming that it's low right now, but maybe it's really more the things that build not only the parietal cell work, but the chief cells for the pepsins and other things. I would tend to look at a tonic for digestion, whether you want to get a bitters product or a digestive enzyme array that has maybe some golden seal, maybe slippery elm, some of the licorices and things that just kind of nurtures and soothes the stomach. And you can do reduce on, 2 months of the vinegar lemon. It's kind of like you've been there, done that. And now we need a little bit of something different. The thing is with the metabolism slow, the assumption would be that it was also slow before the program, mm-hmm. that the program hadn't slowed it down. And so you have mitochondria in your cells that have been told by your body to run it slow. And so this can come from a variety of sources. Nicole mentioned thyroid and adrenal. That's a big issue here that maybe, but it not necessarily the thyroid is would be found in your neck. It's the conversion of T4 to T3 mm-hmm. on your cell membranes, including the mitochondrial membrane. So I think, Judy, a good thing here would be to shift over to a product that supports mitochondria to be able to make energy to repair their membranes, to accept more glucose, to function the Krebs cycle all the better, and start building up your energy. The body makes a choice to turn down our energy. It says, if I keep cranking the energy, I'll keep suffering from free radical damage. And the body has a governor on the metabolic rate, and it will turn it down when it's threatened. Well, when you're knocking off pathogens or you've acquired pathogens, there's threat to the cellular metabolic process. This goes to the brain, it goes to the immune system. So there is a resetting of your cellular metabolics. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to know if there's an MTHFR situation, a COMT situation. I'm thinking now in the genetics, how are you wired up for making energy? And what about your system, even with the prerequisite of improvement in the gut, and maybe a little more improvement to come, but why do you have this intrinsic low temperature, this chilliness, or this lack of vital heat? And so something needs to address, whether it's the mental state from the past, the emotional state from the past, or just the flat out physical metabolics of responding to the environment. Your stage is set. You've done the work with Gut Thrive. In your case, Judy, there's another step to reach maximum energy, and it's a very worthy step. So you could look at adrenal recode. You yeah. could look at picking up supplements. If you have a practitioner, take my thoughts to your practitioner and get a mitochondrial supportive and a cell membrane supportive nutritional supplements would be a good way to work at that, and get yourself on about a 60-day boosting of cellular metabolics. This is nitric oxide pathways. This is your methylfolate pathways. And this is the things that help the mitochondria kick on, because I'm thinking your body has had a long-term signal. Quiet it down. Turn it down. Let's wait. And if you've had any experience fasting, that is, this can happen with people fast maybe at the wrong time, or they don't recover from a fast quite right, and the body has turned it down to conserve. Mm-hmm. And your innate blueprint says, well, I really should be running a little faster. You're a little more high octane. And so that's what you're looking for. Soothe the stomach, build the mitochondria, give it 60 days. And I think you'll turn the page.
Yeah. And Judy, I'll put a link in the replay for the Adrenal Recode mini course. And you should take a look at that, because that'll give you some ideas on how to use temperature and pulse to figure out sort of what's going on with your food and your meals and whether or not it's feeding your cells or not. Also, you might want to look into red light therapy. That can be super helpful for people with sort of triggering that mitochondrial energy. And they sell home units, or sometimes spas or salons will have them that you can use. So that might be something to look into as well. So, all right, Allison's on plan F. She's doing well so far. She doesn't see yogurt on the no list. The yogurt is cashew, not sweetened. Is this okay? Yeah, Allison, we actually want you to avoid fermented foods until you get down to probably about week 10, I think it is in the program, until after you do the pathogen purge, the reseeding, and the terraforming, and then you could, it's okay to add those types of things in, but you should avoid them for now. And I don't know what stage of the program you're on, so if you're not already at that stage in step 4 or 5, then wait till then. Cortisol is both high and low within the same day. She also found that she has high histamine. I can't feel or tell. Is there anything you suggest I tweak in the diet or supplementation? She's taking quercetin at night with dinner and away from Trifala. Yeah, I would say if you know that it's an issue for you right now, I suspect as you go through the Gut Thrive program and you do that healing work, you probably won't have that issue at the end of it. But I would say right now, just remove the highest histamine foods out of your diet. Those are things like avocado, strawberry. You don't want to eat anything like chocolate. Fermented foods like cheese and dairy usually aren't very well tolerated. They're higher in histamine. So I would just start with that. If you're taking quercetin, that's great. You could try a combination formula like Dehist or Histaease. Those are great. They usually have other things like vitamin C, stinging nettles, which can help calm that your mast cells down and stabilize them so they don't release that histamine. But yeah, and I would just let some of the healing, you know, take place through the program. If you've already done, if you haven't done the bone broth fast, I would say maybe do a quick cook broth, like cook it in an Instant Pot in an hour instead of doing like a slow brew over time, because that will lower the histamine content. Or you could do the Beeler's broth or do the coconut gel version. So I would just make little modifications like that, but give yourself some time, because more often than not, once you do this healing work, you won't have those issues by the end of the program. So Jack, do you have anything else to add with that?
Well, I would just say we don't want to ever lose perspective that histamine response is absolutely essential for good digestion. You know, it is a normal, natural process. Look at your numbers. How high were you really? You may just be a person tooled up to have a little more responsiveness. It may be due to a lack of biodiversity of bacterial species. And just exactly what Nicole says, it's going to work out as you do this. Don't know that we need to go on a high histamine food witch hunt if you are not having overt symptoms. And then some people might use a DAO, a diamine oxidase inhibitor, just to knock down 20% of the histamine response. But I put a lot of credence into what people feel.
Yeah.
And if you're not feeling it and it's not holding you back, I would not build an entire campaign on anti- histamine responses, because you may just be barking up the wrong tree for your genetic type, and give the Gut Thrive a little bit longer to get some more biodiversity, and you're going to reduce the histamine producers as in the bacteria family and pick up others that are a little more relaxed on that. I wanted to say, Nicole, we skipped over Kelly wanting a diet, and I thought you would be quite spot on for that.
Where are we? Did I miss one?
I was at Allison. One more question. And then Kelly was wanting, can you please break down food plan for SIBO purge? I have major adrenal fatigue and need some carbs. Would love another explanation of a sample food day during the pathogen purge for SIBO.
Sure. I would say, Kelly, I think if you are having major adrenal fatigue, I would make sure that you eat within an hour of waking up, and I would start with something more grounding for yourself. So maybe like some type of like turkey sausage with a little bit of sweet potato and some vegetables. So I would start with something really grounding. I would play around with the carbs. I think that you'll have to see how your body responds to it. So you can try a little bit of sweet potato, a little bit of those starchy carbs, rutabaga, carrots, turnips, all of that kind of stuff. I would just see, you're going to have to experiment with it and see how you feel. But if you're experiencing that adrenal fatigue, I would increase your food frequency a little bit in the beginning. So I would make sure that you're eating every 2.5 to 3 hours to regulate your blood sugar, and go from there. I don't know if that's enough detail for you. Just let me know in the comments if It's not. But again, you're just going to have to experiment with what works for your body. So I wouldn't stay away from the starches, those starchy carbs. I would just see how your body reacts to them and then use them if you can tolerate them. Okay. Where are we? Vicky, great reminder about, yeah, I'm a big fan of red light therapy. That was a game changer for me when I was sick. So I'm a big fan of that if you have access to it. Allison, you're awesome, Jack. Yes, he is. He's our favorite. so glad you spoke on that. Living out here in the woods, we have access to grass-fed beef from local farms. That's amazing, Allison. That's not common for people, so that's great. Okay, Jack, I don't see any more questions, so if you guys have anything else, jump in.
Did we get Chantal on collagen versus whey protein?
Yeah, okay, protein powder question. Can we use collagen from grass-fed cow? Yes, you can. Is whey protein okay if lactose-sensitive? If you can tolerate it and digest it well and it's a good quality, yeah, you can do it. I don't think there's a reason why you don't you don't need to. Let's see. Did we miss any others? Let me just check quick. I don't think so. Kelly, are you taking actual questions live? Yes, that we are live right now. Let's see.
I showed Krista once when you're on these shows now, there's software that you can add where you would be seeing Nicole's face, but Nicole has gotten up, gone to the kitchen, you know, making breakfast, but and it runs a loop. So Nicole would be in her eyes and nodding her head. And
oh, I need the software. You need to send me the link to this.
Yeah, yeah. The speaker's just mouthing on and on and on, you know, and if you have to, you run back, you click, and here you are back on it. So Chris and I had a little laugh on that. I said, here's what we need. You know?
Yeah, I'm into it. Send it to me.
Then Kelly would be asking and worried, you know, are we live or am I watching a loop?
Yes, we are live.
We're actually here.
Yes.
And our smiles are for you.
Yes.
Well, it's been a great class, don't you think? And I hope everyone's empowered to move forward.
Yeah, and as always, if you have any questions or stumbling along the way, just send in a ticket to us and we're happy to answer you. Oh, Kelly's asking, do we bring people on camera? No, Kelly, we don't. We ask people to write their messages in the chat, their questions. Libby, thank you for all of your work. It's been a life changer for me in re-educating myself and body and faith and knowing that food is my medicine. Oh, you're so welcome, Libby. And that's really the philosophy. I know it's Krista and Jack's philosophy is we want to teach. Krista always says this, teach a man to fish rather than give him a fish. We want you to understand what's going on in your body and how to support it and so that you can carry this forward with you and have optimal health for the rest of your life.
So I was doing a live Zoom and a woman came on, you know, from the database audience and came your question and looks like Chantal needs a little Facebook app. Not the one to ask on that.
Chantal, just send a ticket into us at info@thewholejourney.com and we can make sure Lori Jo can make sure that your Facebook access is there. Usually you just have to make a membership request and then we accept it. Oh, thanks, Vicky. We try to be responsive. Yes. And we try to get back to you within 24 to 48 hours and we're so happy to support you. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone. I think that's it for us, Jack. It's always a pleasure to see you. And I know we'll see each other soon with the practitioners. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
All righty.
All right. We'll see you all back in December. Bye, everyone.